Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Maxix Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and I have very much been looking forward to this segment today. I have in the studio with me, and we've got an additional guest on Skype, with Vivos Therapeutics, and we have Sandy Smith, Integrated Market Advisor, to thank for the introduction. Welcome to the show, Sandy.
Thank you for having us.
We're thrilled to have you. This is going to be a packed conversation, so I want to make sure I get each of our guests introduced before we get started. We also have with us Dave Willey, who is a patient of Vivos. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Glad to have you. And you are not even in Arizona. You came in specifically to help us tell the story today.
Came in from Denver this morning, flying back home tonight. But
Thank you. It's
a story I wanted to tell.
Well, we certainly appreciate it. And also in the studio with us, we have Ed Lowe, Chief Strategy Officer. Hello, sir.
Hello. Glad to be here.
We're thrilled to have you. And with us via Skype last minute, which is exciting, Brian Ferry, Chief Marketing Officer and Chief Evangelist as well. That's quite a title.
It is. Thank you for having me.
We're thrilled. And I understand that you are the one who probably best tells our listeners what and who Vivos Therapeutics is. Could you start with that introduction for us?
Sure. Vivos Therapeutics is leading the way with a revolutionary therapeutic protocol for one of the most pernicious and often misunderstood health concerns of the modern era. And that is obstructive sleep apnea. Currently today in the United States, somewhere around 70 to 80 million people suffer from a condition that is really a developmental condition. It has to do with the development of our upper and lower jaws. When we're born, we're actually born with a couple of aerodynamic features that make us so we can arrive here. And over time, our jaws are meant to develop out, down, and forward. And when they fail to do that, there's a condition that's referred to by dentists as retrognathia, or retrusion of the mandible, and maxillary hypoplasia, which are really big fancy words for saying that our jaws didn't develop out where they were supposed to be. Today, 90% of kids have crooked teeth, and 95% of us have to have four of our teeth removed because they don't fit in our mouth. And it's a fascinating thing to begin to understand that this developmental condition that, quite frankly, has been brought on by societal changes, which we can talk about in a minute, but millions and millions of people suffer. And the end result is they suffer from sleep apnea, meaning they stop breathing over and over and over in their sleep. And this is one of the most misunderstood conditions. I talk to people every single day, and there's this misconception that sleep apnea is snoring, or it's this mildly annoying thing that we have. And the reality is it's a deadly killer. People are dying from this every day.
I knew that it was a very dangerous situation. I had no idea that it had anything to do with our jaw. And it's funny because when I was reading the bio in preparation for this segment, I know that Kirk Huntsman is the founder, correct?
He is. He's one of the founders.
Yeah. And he has this, and I'm sure one of you could speak to it, but was speaking, or his background is dental. And so I was left wondering, and thank you for filling in that gap, at least part of it, what did a dental practice have to do with sleep apnea? So I'm already blown away, and we're not even, 3 minutes in. Wow. Okay. So would you be willing to speak to these societal changes that have kind of impacted our development? Because I'm curious about that, and then we'll bring everybody else in the conversation. And by the way, feel free to jump in. We really want this conversation to really tell the story about the great work that you all are doing and of course, how it's helped you specifically. So let's just have a well-rounded conversation. So societal changes, what are you alluding to there?
So if we look back, There's been a number of interesting studies, but if we look back at the history of craniofacial development, really the development of the upper and lower jaws, and we look back in the fossil record, even not as far back as even 180 years ago, crooked teeth were really quite rare, right? So we now find today that there's this developmental condition. So we have to ask ourselves, why is it that our jaws aren't developing the way they're supposed to? And research has now revealed a number of the main causes for this developmental issue. One thing changed just within the last 150 years. One thing significantly changed, and that is breastfeeding. Today, children are born and are lucky to get 3 to 4 or 5 weeks worth of breastfeeding. But historically, humans would breastfeed for a number of years. And there's a slight misunderstanding about breastfeeding that has led to this. And that is that we believed for a long, long time that babies were suckling or sucking. And in reality, the babies are actually chewing. And that mastication, that chewing function actually stimulates the stem cells, causing our jaws to grow out, down, and forward. Now, to make things even worse, after breastfeeding and after bottle feeding, we actually put our children on a very soft diet or baby food, again, not causing them to chew.
Right.
And then unfortunately, after they come off baby food, all too often we move their diet to things like fast food and processed foods that, again, don't require us to chew our food. You know, when I was a little kid, my grandma used to tell me all the time, make sure you chew your food. And I think that historically we knew that that was an important part of our developmental process, even if it was subconsciously we knew it. But those changes in society and our diet and the way that we handle breastfeeding today are really one of the leading causes for this problem. And, you know, we talk about sleep apnea, which is interesting and especially dear to my heart. But this is also the leading cause for crooked teeth or malocclusion. So a dentist is actually uniquely qualified to identify this problem and recognize this problem. And by working with Vivos, qualified dentists who have received postgraduate training in sleep and breathing are able to not only identify this problem, but actually work with their medical colleagues to diagnose and treat this. Vivos has developed a powerful and unique protocol that actually addresses the underlying condition.
So Brian, those are phenomenal points. And to help the listeners really understand that phenomenon of what's happened, you know, the study of medicine and dentistry, if we go back 100 to 150 years, did not really include a heavy curriculum on sleep apnea. It's really a fairly new phenomenon. In fact, if we look at the baby boomer generation, that's the first generation that was really affected by sleep apnea. And anecdotally, if we look at the 1950s, we see the introduction of two people in the home working. We see the heavy introduction of pacifier use and bottle feeding. And the American Dental Association reports that heavy use of pacifiers will cause malocclusions or crooked teeth. And now we consider that braces for a teenager is a rite of passage. It actually means something went terribly wrong in the cranial facial development of that child, meaning the dental arches, and there's two, there's a lower dental arch and the mandible, and an upper dental arch, which is a maxilla. And because there's crowding, that means those dental arches weren't able to expand. And you're right, Brian, when we talk about breastfeeding, it develops the cranial facial region and it allows the genes to fully develop. And if we look at the human airway, which is really functional space, the human airway is not an organ. And on the back of that airway is the spine. And on the front of that airway is the tongue. Well, the tongue is attached to the mandible. So what we're seeing is, if we look at the spatial relationship between the upper jaw, which is the maxilla, in an underdeveloped craniofacial region, which has a retruded mandible, the tongue impedes the airway. And so it's really a societal issue, as with the soft food. We have entire generations of children being born and their craniofacial region not only is not developing because of how we're raising them, it's actually the reverse of that. It's the how we're taking care of them collapses the cranial facial region, adding sort of fuel to the fire, if you will.
So
Brian, a moment ago, talked about a dentist can identify this, right? That's exactly what happened to me. All I did was go into the dentist for my normal 6 month or every 3 year, whatever, how often you go to the dentist, right? Supposed to go 6 months. So I go in and my dentist, you know, does the cleaning and he looks and he says, boy, you really have a high palate. No idea what a high palate meant. I said, okay. He says, the roof of your mouth's really high. I said, okay. He says, do you have breathing problems? And I said, well, yeah, I've been a mouth breather my whole life. And he says, do you snore? And I said, yeah, I snore. My wife and I sleep in different rooms, right? I mean, she can't sleep with me in the same bed. So he says, and it's because one of the dentists who is actually now the doctor who treats me, Dr. Lindsay Williams, who is fantastic, had just left that dental practice and moved to Vivos. He says, go see Vivos. And so I go to a Saturday morning informational meeting, right? Sounded intriguing. I stayed, asked some questions. They did the scan, everything, right? And I literally signed up that day. And it's all because my dentist noticed that my mouth, as they've been talking about, the malformation of that I had a malformation. And he could just look at it visually and say, you're a mouth breather. You need help. Go see Vivos. And it really happened just that fast.
So can you talk to us how life has changed for you as a result? I'm already imagining some things just based on what you briefly shared.
No, you have no idea. I don't know. I mean, these guys may not get another word.
That's okay.
If you allow me to tell everything. So I go and, you know, there's a process of getting measured for the appliance, which, by the way, I have right here. I know this is radio and people can't see it, but that's what it is.
It just looks like a retainer.
It looks like a retainer, really. It's very simple. Okay. So I got it on August 1st.
Of
18.
Yeah, okay.
Within 3 months, I was a nose breather. No joke. Okay. I've been sitting here the whole time with my mouth closed, listening to this whole conversation, breathing through my nose. 8 months ago, that was physically impossible. No, it was impossible. I mean, I could not do it. I could take 3 or 4 breaths through my nose, and then I would have to stop, and I would gasp, and I would breathe through my mouth to catch up. Okay. I flew here to Denver, or from Denver, this morning. I didn't open my mouth on the flight other than to drink a cup of water.
Which has got to be a treat.
It's unbelievable.
Like, it's normal for me. I can't even imagine, but...
Right. It's unbelievable. If you haven't experienced it, right? I mean...
You probably keep playing with it, too. Like, let me see what I can...
Well, I mean, when you get those kinds of results 3 months in, right? You're like, holy cow. Yeah. Now where does this go? Because this is roughly a 2-year treatment. May not last that long. I don't know. But it could be as much as 2 years, I've been told. And you're like, well, I've gotten this after 3 months. Where am I going to be after 2 years? Right? So you get really motivated to keep this thing in, follow the protocol, and the results are amazing. And again, you were talking about sleep. I took a sleep study as part of like the pre-screening of this, right? It found I stop breathing 41 times an hour. That's about every 90 seconds.
41? Wow.
Okay. It's no joke. Sleep apnea is no joke. Okay. I'm like, oh, that scared the heck out of me, right? I mean, so I jumped right in based off of that. Since then, I have vivid dreams every single night. I hadn't dreamed in years. And there's no way you can dream when you're waking up every 90 seconds, right? You have no chance. So there's that piece of it. The sleep is unbelievably better. My wife and I sleep together now.
I was listening for that
piece.
Don't want to ask wasn't happening.
No. Some nights I don't, if she has to, but she's a very light sleeper. So it could just simple as rolling around can wake her up. You know, if she has to get up early in the morning or something like that. But for the most part, we're back right in the same place. I haven't had a sinus infection since I started this. I am guaranteed to have at least one sinus infection every winter. Guaranteed. Right? 3 things in life. Death, taxes, and Dave gets a sinus infection.
Right.
I mean, seriously. It's that automatic. And I haven't had one. I haven't had a cold. I haven't had anything. It's because all of this space up here is now bigger. And what used to get stuck in there and then slowly over time get infected comes out.
You know, it's interesting you point to a nose breather versus a mouth breather. And one of the key indicators of a sleep apnea is a mouth breather. And why is that important? Because nitric oxide is a very important chemical for cellular regeneration and for our body's health. And nitric oxide can only be brought into the body naturally through the nasal cavity. So if you're a mouth breather, you're not getting that essential core chemical to help your body heal itself. And what he is sharing is how the VIVO system works. It's the repositioning of the mandible and the maxilla to essentially widen the palate and open up the nasal cavity. And as a result, the conditions that cause sleep apnea go away. They no longer exist. And that's one of the most phenomenal things, because if we really look at what are the treatment protocols or recommended therapies by doctors today, we really fall into three categories. And the first category would be a CPAP machine. And unfortunately, that's very therapeutic. So if you're diagnosed with sleep apnea, and sleep apnea is indicated by an AHI score, an apnea hypopnea index. And apnea is the cessation of breathing for 10 seconds or longer. So as you had indicated, you had an AHI of
41,
which means he stopped breathing 41 times per hour for 10 seconds or longer. That is severe sleep apnea.
No, it's no joke. When they got that score back, they're like, okay, we're starting like now.
Immediately.
And I was on board. I'm like, you're right. Yeah. I mean,
We lost Brian a moment ago. Do you mind pausing for a second? Because I want to hear about the rest of this, but I want to make sure we bring him back. There's that dancing music from Skype. We got you back again.
Hey, Brian.
I don't know what happened there, but you can hear us okay?
Yeah.
All right, Brian. Thank you. So we are just listening to Ed and Dave share, obviously Dave's experience, personal experience, but Ed was just describing what some of the other alternatives are to Vivos Therapeutics, one which is the CPAP.
CPAP machine, which we've all sort of heard stories about that, and they come in different iterations. Sometimes they're a big Darth Vader mask, and sometimes they're a soft, kind of marketed as a soft pillow. And what it does is it sends pressured air, oxygen, into your body, and it sort of decreases that AHI, that apnea event, so that you can breathe and sleep properly. One of the other conditions of sleep apnea is REM sleep. So if you're constantly waking up, because as you experience an apnea event, your body will trigger itself to wake up, and you're never getting REM sleep. So oftentimes someone with sleep apnea will describe their daily living condition. They'll be at a stoplight where they're falling asleep, or they find themselves, even after sleeping for 10 or 11 hours, or quote unquote thinking they're sleeping, they'll be tired throughout the day. They're never getting REM sleep. Another key indicator is they don't dream. So again, if you're not entering REM sleep, you're not dreaming, and more importantly, you're not dreaming in color. So if you sleep healthy and you have REM sleep, you can wake up and you can remember your dreams vividly. And that's sort of a key indicator that you're sleeping properly and you're a nose breather. And so when we talk about the treatment protocols, I mean, we have CPAP machines, and it's therapeutic. And if you're prescribed a CPAP machine, unfortunately, you will be wearing that probably for the rest of your life.
It's a life sentence.
It's a life sentence. That's right.
And I didn't want any part of that.
You never tried it.
Well, I'm claustrophobic one, so I couldn't. I had tried those little things you buy in the drugstore, or you see infomercials about them. I don't know what they're called, but they you wear them while you sleep, and they go in your mouth, and they pull your jaw forward. I tried those. Mm-hmm. They would always end up on the pillow next to me when I woke up in the morning, because they're not comfortable. It hurts. I mean, it's pulling your jaw. Okay, do this right for 8 hours. And see how you feel.
Yeah. There's tons of mandibular devices out there, and the CPAP and surgeries, but they're all palliative.
Yeah. And so the CPAP really wasn't an option for me. And I'm, you know, in my late 40s, I've got friends at work who are in their 40s that are already on CPAP machines. And I look at them and I'm like, and I've even talked to them about this and what I'm doing. I'm like, if you live to be 80, you're going to spend half of your life wearing a CPAP machine at night. Really? You really want to do that?
Because would it be safe to say it's a Band-Aid, or it's just this, it's not fixing the issue.
It's not fixing the issue.
Right.
It might treat the issue, but it's not fixing it. It's like if you break your arm, you can take enough Advil, right? And then the arm doesn't hurt anymore, but you still have a broken arm, right? So if you have sleep apnea and all you're using is something that just treats the symptom, you're never fixing the problem.
And Dave had described sort of the second sort of treatment protocol, which was a mandibular advancement device. And what that device does, it's an oral appliance that pulls the mandible forward, the lower jaw. So if you actually pull your lower jaw forward, the tongue is attached to that. So it increases the volume of space of your airway. It actually does work. Unfortunately, our bodies are very adaptive. So if we go to the gym and we work out, over time, we can use heavier and heavier weights and we can stand the treadmill longer. Well, just like with a mandibular advancement device, your body adapts to the tension pulling your jaw forward. So over time, the patient has to titrate that device with higher tension. And over time, what we found to be reported by most patients is you develop jaw pain, TMJ pain, massive headaches. And then all of a sudden, so you have sleep apnea. Now you have all these other conditions related to the therapeutic sort of alternative of a mandibular advancement device. Now you're back to square one, which might be a CPAP machine.
Ed, was there another alternative that you were going to describe, or those?
Sure. Well, and then the most aggressive alternative is surgery, and surgery is oftentimes effective. So if we look at the spatial relationship between the mandible and the maxilla, oftentimes the medical community will say, "Hey, well, let's sort of force a correct angle and force the correct spatial relationship." So oftentimes that means surgically splitting the palate. It means surgically breaking and then reattaching the mandible, positioning it forward. It's oftentimes very dangerous, and they're very expensive. So if we look at alternative 1, 2, and 3, there's really not some good alternatives out there until Vivos.
Sandy, you have a personal attachment to Vivos and really helping to, I don't know, is it safe to say cure sleep apnea? Is that a safe thing to say? That's what y'all are doing.
We're trying.
So are you willing to speak a little bit about why this is important to you and how come you're part of this team and where have you been before? Just professionally, start there. Let's start with that question. I asked you about 7 questions in one bite. Professionally, why is this a great fit for you and what had you done previously?
I had had previously 2 medical startup medical devices. One was a transport system for ambulatory infusion pumps. And then I went on to grow a company that we manufactured and distributed a post-operative compression vest for patients that undergo any type of thoracic incision. So a coronary bypass. Most of my surgeons would put it on the patient 24 hours post-operatively. And we saw a reduction in length stay, reduced time, pain. We know those qualitatively. And then I won 2016 Innovation Product of the Year for reducing readmissions. And that was a big game changer for me, for the hospitals as well. And I thought it was the coolest job ever because I was improving the quality of patients' lives. I then sold that company and Vivos found me. I got a call, went down the road and interviewed. And they said, well, it's a dental appliance, it's technology. I couldn't quite grasp it. And because I knew medical, so I thought... And I didn't know dental that well, but they kept on coming after me, and I got more and more excited after I learned they had 8 patents, clinical trials, case studies. It just kept going. So at that time, Kirk Huntsman, the CEO, flew me up to Colorado, and it took about an hour and a half, and I finally got it, what this technology was doing. It was saving lives. So came back home, talked to my husband. He's like, "You're not doing another startup." And I had some tears in my eyes. He goes, "What happened?" And I said, "March 10th, 1988, 1056. I know now." And back in high school, my mom was snoring. I thought it was normal. She stopped snoring, so I thought it wasn't normal. So I went over to her, and I tried to resuscitate her. And 911 was called, and they said 1056. So she died in my arms. And for 9 years, therapy thought, gosh, did I do it wrong? So my job is personal, to shout out from the rooftops to get as many doctors interested in Vivos technology.
Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
And Brian, you said you have, do you have a personal experience as well? Or you know somebody who's needed this as well?
Yeah. So my first introduction to sleep apnea came in 1999 when I met my wife. And on our wedding night, as we drifted off to sleep, I remember distinctly this little purring sound that she made. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, how cute she snores. And then within about 20 minutes, she was shaking the entire house. And I thought to myself, oh, thank God I'm deaf in one ear. I can stay married to this woman. So I was married to Carrie for 15 years. And on October 27th of 2015, we drifted off to sleep after kissing each other at 11:30. And Carrie died at 12:30 at age 44 from the effects, the ravaging effects of sleep apnea. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about, because this doesn't really, it's not really that well understood by people who have sleep apnea or might have sleep apnea and don't know it. Millions are undiagnosed, but there's many, many studies now that have linked sleep apnea with some of the worst conditions you can possibly imagine. Things like chronic depression and chronic anxiety and chronic pain, fibromyalgia, and even certain seizure disorders. And there's a list of about 30 comorbid diseases that are directly linked to sleep apnea. And my story is a little bit unique in the fact that my wife suffered from 9 of those conditions. The night that she fell asleep and didn't wake up, she had taken 9 different prescription medications that were all prescribed for conditions directly related to her sleep apnea. And for me, you know, we always thought, me and my kids always thought the snoring thing was just kind of funny. We used to play games. We'd take little tissue papers and put them on her nose, and we'd bet each other how far she could blow them across the room. And, you know, I'd have to apologize to neighbors because she snored so loud. And we just always thought it was a joke. No one ever, not one doctor ever said to us, you know, this could be causing her depression. This could be causing her fibromyalgia and her chronic pain. And my role here at the company, I was fortunate enough to meet the company literally a couple of weeks after I lost my wife. And so my passion for this goes well beyond my profession. And quite frankly, my goal is to raise awareness about the seriousness of the condition, and then to be able to bring a revolutionary treatment protocol that in the end isn't a life sentence. You know, I'm so glad that we have one of our patients here today, because that's another person that I don't have to worry about losing because we didn't pay attention.
You know, to speak about what you're talking about, Brian, playing games, my family and my kids, we used to joke and call my husband Sir Naps-a-Lot. And now I don't think that's funny.
Right?
Yeah.
Does he use Vivos?
He's starting to,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's we all, everyone involved in this company has a passion and has a story, because sleep apnea is one of the most prevalent diseases in North America. And we can go door to door and knock and ask that person that answers the door, do they have sleep apnea or know of someone? And 9 times out of the 10, the answer is yes. You know, it's interesting. We were training a dentist in Portland, Oregon about 9 months ago. Sleep apnea is diagnosed by a doctor, a medical doctor. It's a medical condition. And our treatment protocol has oral appliances that are medical devices. And through that patient journey, as they become a Vivos patient, the first step is to take a sleep test, as Dave had indicated. And sort of, I've always considered myself fairly healthy, and my wife had said I snore every now and again, and I guess it was pretty loud. But I essentially, I took a sleep test up to my hotel room, and I took that sleep test. And the next day, a doctor evaluated the results, and it turned out my AHI, which is my apnea hypopnea index, indicated I stopped breathing 27 times an hour. And it all started to make sense, because in my early 20s, I had a dentist sort of identify that I had bruxism. Bruxism is grinding of the teeth at night.
Yep, me too.
And I was a stockbroker, and I said, okay, you know, it was sort of, the conversation was, you have a stressful job, you're sort of grinding your teeth at night. But really, now we know what's happening is subconsciously the brain understands that there's a lack of oxygen, and it's manipulating the mandible, trying to open the airway. And so when a dentist, or we talk about grinding our teeth, you're actually suffocating in the middle of the night. And so I was identified with bruxism back in my early 20s. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure in my late 20s. So here we are today, about less than a year ago, I was identified as having sleep apnea. And it's an exciting journey. Just as Dave had indicated, I've been wearing my appliance now for a little over 8 months. And I used to have red circles under my eyes. The lack of nitric oxide, a key indicator when you look at someone, they have red circles under their eyes. You can tell that's a lack of nitric oxide. I no longer have red circles under my eyes. My wife says I rarely snore, which is exciting. I now work out over 2 hours a day, every single morning. It's changed my life. My palates, both my upper and my lower dental arches have expanded. So just like Dave, it's a very exciting journey. And it personally affected me. And I became very passionate, just like, you know, Brian's a dear friend of mine. And I have family members that are affected by this. And almost everyone we encounter knows someone. It's a great thing that what Vivos is doing.
So I'm sitting here listening to all of you, and I think probably like all of our listeners, I have at least a list of six people, myself included, my husband, my daughter, who I know we need to find out if sleep apnea is part of what we're dealing with. I won't get into the symptoms, that sort of thing, but I would imagine that this more people need to know.
So everybody needs to know. Because everybody knows somebody.
Right.
Including themselves.
And I've known what I thought I knew what sleep apnea was. I knew what it was. And like you've shared, you know, make fun of my husband when he snores. I always say to him, it's not a cute snore. It's a very erratic, very bizarre snore. And now I've been snoring lately and that sort of thing. But so we have these jokes, right, that go on in our bedrooms and our households. And sometimes our neighbors are even impacted. But what are we doing about it? And how can we be educated to not only change the way that we are really born into society as an infant? I'll go back to one of the stories that Brian was first sharing, and really the whole, not story, but the whole idea of this cranial, I don't know how the medical terms, but the lack of how our heads are and our jaws are shaped. When I was breastfeeding my oldest two kiddos, who are now 24 and 22, my mother, so again, I was born in 64, so she was of the formula generation. Make your life easy. Feed your kid formula, right? So fast forward to early 90s when I was breastfeeding my kiddos. I remember her saying to me, you shouldn't be breastfeeding. It's unattractive to your husband. And why would you do this? Because it's, you know, it's so much easier doing XYZ. And I remember thinking, well, that's what these are for. And I'm grateful that I breastfed all of my kids, you know, well into their first year. But that's what I think we've shifted, right? Societally, you spoke about baby food as well. We've made it convenient. And so not only are we looking at making a change for people's health today who are dealing with sleep apnea and all these other symptoms that we're dealing with, but I can't help but think that what you are also doing as an organization with the passion, the purpose, and the mission that you're on is, what if we can shift how we are encouraging mothers to take care of their babies from the very beginning? Sandy, your thoughts on that?
Well, a great example is my son, Roman. I breastfed him for maybe 4 months, and then baby food, and then a binky for 4 years. He has a very underdeveloped jaw and extreme malocclusions. He doesn't spend the night at friends because he wet the bed. And that's a component of it as well. Bedwetting, ADD. And so now he's in treatment and it's making a difference. He would sleep 11 hours a night and still be tired. I could never figure it out.
You know, Karen, when I was in seventh grade, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. When I was in seventh grade, I remember my health teacher saying something like, if you can't breathe, you're going to die. And people who have sleep apnea, that's precisely what's going on. They're slowly suffocating every single night. And we starve the brain of very important. It's not just the oxygen. It's the patterns of sleep. And Ed mentioned dreaming and all of those things that we talk about breastfeeding. I want to be really, really careful that we don't make any mothers feel bad about this, but it's important for us to raise the warning flags, right? So, and we need to get past this societal notion that breastfeeding is somehow, I think you said, unattractive, which that's terrible, but we need to move past that.
And I think that was a very kind of old school example of my mom from the 60s went in the 70s when that was so popular. And I really value and appreciate what you're sharing, Brian. This is not a conversation to make anybody feel bad about what they've chosen. There, I know many women who cannot, literally cannot breastfeed. So thank God for formulas and that sort of thing. And yet, if we can inform, if we can educate, if we can continue to get the word out about what you all are doing and provide people with this therapy, then lives will be changed.
Well, something that I found out was that I guess there was a stigma or a belief. And when I first told people that I had sleep apnea, the first question is, well, you're not overweight.
Right.
Well, no.
And you're not old.
I'm 168 pounds. I'm 49 years old. I do Tough Mudders in Colorado at 9,000 feet. I ski. I hike 14,000 foot peaks. I'm pretty fit. And I have really bad sleep apnea. So don't think just because you might be fit that you're exempt. You're not. Just look at me, okay? I'm, for a 49-year-old guy, I'm doing okay. But I've got it, and I got to get rid of it. I got to fix it.
You know, one of the exciting light at the end of the tunnel, if you will, of this story is we talk about sort of the palliative treatments and the lifelong sort of sentences for sleep apnea, the mandibular advancement devices and the CPAP machines. The Vivos appliance is one of the greatest things because it naturally allows the body to heal itself, and it's a potential permanent solution for a patient. And, you know, I spend a lot, just like Brian and our team, we spend a lot of time working with dentists, and you had asked about the dental community and the tie-in, and legally you have to be a doctor in that is licensed to work in the mouth or a dentist, which really dentists hold sort of the key to life. And when we sort of explain how the Vivos protocol works, you know, I use the example, if we break our forearm, don't put a cast on that forearm and sort of just let it to heal naturally. It probably won't heal correctly. You'll probably be able to use it. It will probably never be 100%. But if we create and put a cast on that broken arm, we allow the body to deploy new bone and soft tissue and naturally heal that bone. So over time, when that cast is removed, essentially you're healed. And that's what the Vivos protocol combined with our oral appliances allows the body to do, which is to naturally deploy new bone and soft tissue and reposition the mandible and the maxilla so that over time there's a potential permanent solution. So there's no other protocol out there that can make that representation, which is really exciting for people with sleep apnea. A lifelong sentence of a CPAP machine is not fun. It's not something you want to hear.
Well, and you talk about the growth. You can see the growth when you – so the way this works is you expand it once a week, right? It expands in two different directions. And it grows, okay? It gets bigger. You see gaps. Those gaps represent bigger space in your mouth. Okay. And then so you see the different space. All of a sudden, you can breathe through your nose. You're not getting sinus infections like I've always gotten. You're getting better sleep. The evidence is right there. I mean, they can quote studies, whatever they want to do, stats. I have real life. This works. It works. And it's been a game changer.
So Dave is sort of explaining the phenomenon of when a Vivos patient first receives their appliance. It fits in like a retainer. And then once a week or every twice a week, depending upon the doctor's instructions, the device has a little kind of screw that widens the device. It's actually a really neat phenomenon so that it can keep up with sort of the widening of the dental arches. And some people wear an upper and a lower, and some people just wear an upper. But really what happens as the upper dental arch widens, which is the maxilla, the nasal cavity drops. So all of a sudden you have more volume to breathe in through your nose. So all of a sudden you become a nose breather. And it really is quite a phenomenon. Over the last 8 months I've been wearing my device, my upper dental arch has increased by about a millimeter and a half. So it's really, really does work.
It does. Sometimes I'm at a loss for words is how this changes your life. Okay. I was kind of at a loss as far as I just kind of had accepted, you know what? I'm just going to be tired all the time. That's the deal. And you know what? Me and amoxicillin are just going to be friends the rest of my life. And a couple times a year, I'll get a Z-Pak or whatever, and I'll treat my sinus infection and life will go on. And then again, my dentist literally just mentioned. It wasn't even like, you just kind of almost as an aside, hey, you have a really high palate. And it's gone from there.
Dave, what do you do professionally?
I am a sports videographer for a television station in Denver. So if you watch an NFL game or you watch a NBA game or you watch a game and you see the people down on the floor or on the sideline with a TV camera on their shoulder, I'm one of those guys.
That sounds like a great career. You've been doing that for how long?
26 years.
Forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Longer than I haven't been doing it, put it that way. More than half my life.
Right. And since you've been in this treatment, we've heard a little bit about home life. Yeah, you're not tired.
Right.
Tell us about as it relates to your job. What are some of the things that you're experiencing?
Well, I have more energy during a game. We have a 22, 23, 24 pound camera on our shoulder for 5 or 6 hours on a Sunday afternoon. And it can be a track meet too, right? If there's an interception at the other end of the field and there's no TV timeout, you have 40 seconds to get the other end of the field and set up. I'm 49 years old. I'm the fastest guy on the field.
Sweet.
I'm outrunning all the young guys. But no, there's more energy to do that. It's a physically demanding job. There's no question. It helps.
So let's go back to what Dave just mentioned with regards to the dentist, and I want to turn it to the Vivos team. We're putting the word out today. This is a podcast. It's business radio. So a lot of professionals and folks who want to go straight to the information are going to come and listen to this. Who else needs to know about it? If I'm a dentist, how do I find out more about it? Talk about, you know, what's the... Not from the consumer perspective or the patient perspective, but let's talk professionally. Who else do you need to be in front of? How can we help get the word out? And what does a dentist need to do to find out more?
They can email me at ssmith@vivoslife.com. My phone number is 480-529-4361. Our website is vivoslife.com. There's a plethora amount of information on that as well. Not only dentists, but I often try to speak to ortho docs. I speak sometimes at high schools, and I have an opportunity to share about Vivos. And at the end of it, I ask these students, how many of your parents snore? 97 kids. How many of you guys grind? And most often is these teenagers have beautiful smiles, but guess what? They can't breathe. They have TMJ, TMD. So it's very, very gratifying. So not only dentists, orthodontists, oral surgeons, anyone that can look into the airway, the mouth.
Yeah, and I would add any of our medical colleagues, ENTs right. and physicians, that physicians are on the front line. They see us for everything from a sniffle to a cough. And, you know, the reality is we need to raise awareness amongst the entire medical community that there's an alternative out there besides the go-to CPAP.
Another alternative is my cardiothoracic nurses asked me what I was doing. And she said, you know, when we incubate a patient and their airways compromised, we send them to a pulmonologist. And the pulmonologist puts them on a CPAP. There has to be an alternative.
Yeah, getting the word out is one of our core missions at Vivos. And we spend a lot of time educating not only the dental community, but the medical community. And it's been long taught in medical schools that the palate and the sutures in the craniofacial region solidify in the mid to late teen years of life. And so that it's believed that a palate can't be expanded. Well, that's a myth. And we've done it thousands and thousands of times with many patients. And Vivos is a disruptive technology. So getting that message out and when we share that message with cardiologists and pulmonologists and doctors that work with sleep patients, and people that suffer from sleep apnea, they're excited. I mean, there's a real alternative here.
I was hoping you were going to say they're excited because sometimes when we're so committed to how we think something's supposed to work and that's what we spent our life, professional life, believing that, we're not always open to alternatives and this disruptive technology. So I'm thrilled to hear that people are receptive.
Well, the conversation usually starts with very circumspect. And with a doctor and you're absolutely right.
And they should.
Absolutely. And fortunately, we have over 45 published clinically peer-reviewed studies. We have quite a bit of evidence published online on our website, sort of giving the scientific approach. One of the greatest things is sitting here with someone like Dave, hearing about his life story, about how Vivos, how it's changed his life, how he can breathe better and he can live better. I mean, it's really an amazing story when it comes from an actual patient.
It's life-changing.
It is absolutely life-changing. And again, I'm only 8 months in. I still have another year to go. I can't seriously wait to see where this ends up, because what I've already seen is almost nothing short of a miracle. And so...
And as a busy professional and taking time to come in with this team and fly in, which is really speaks volumes about the people that you've had a chance to connect with as a result of this. So let's talk from the patient perspective. Somebody's listening, they know somebody, or they themselves think, oh my gosh, this might be the answer to what I've been dealing with. They also go to the website and start there, or do they connect with their regular physician? What would you recommend for our listening audience who's just curious about Vivos from a personal perspective?
I would call directly, email directly. If you go to our website, we have a list of all our Vivos integrated doctors by zip code and by state.
I was just going to ask, this is across the country. This is not just Arizona, obviously.
Correct.
And yeah, we just need to keep putting the word out. I'm absolutely blown away. There are not many segments that we do here at Phoenix Business Radio that I don't feel a great pride and enthusiasm and excitement for, because every story is worth sharing. But when I can sit and listen to each of you have a personal story, I probably do too. I mean, I'm certain that I do. I just haven't gotten anybody in front of somebody who can fix the situations yet. But you are absolutely making a difference. And everything that we can do to help put the word out is what we're here for. We've got a few minutes left. What haven't I thought to ask? What else do you believe is worthy of sharing when you think about it from a perspective of the medical field in addition to patients themselves? What else might we want to share? Go ahead, Brian.
I would say the most important message that we can bring to your listeners is be aware of this condition. And if you don't get treatment with a Vivos doctor, get treatment somewhere. The palatal, the solutions that we've talked about today, the CPAP and some of these other treatment options that are out there, are better than doing nothing. You know, about 2 months ago, we were filming a documentary about sleep and breathing, and we were in downtown Salt Lake City in the middle of the winter, and we did a man on the street. We walked up to 25 random people, and we asked them questions about sleep and breathing. And out of 25 people, random people that we stopped, 24 of them knew someone or suffered from it themselves. The reality is, this is one of the most pervasive problems of our time. And so my message would be, regardless of whether you're able to get to a Vivos doctor to go through this protocol, get checked and get treatment. And don't take this the way I did and take it lightly. It's not a light condition. It causes some really horrific things. And quite frankly, you know, we talk a lot about that. We mentioned earlier that there's a myth that this affects old fat white guys. The reality is, sleep apnea is now known to cause obesity. So it's not because of obesity. It's known to cause obesity. It's known to cause depression. It's known to cause these other issues. And the reality is, you might not know that you have a breathing problem. You might not snore. You might not have any of these outward symptoms of sleep apnea, but you've got other issues going on. So get a sleep test and get treatment somewhere.
And the sleep test I took was really simple. I did it at home. There was a thing they put on your finger, a little machine that records your sleep, and just go to sleep and wake up and you take it back to the office. And a week later, they give you the results. It's really simple.
Yeah. Ed, yours was similar?
It's almost identical. Yeah, it's very easy to use, and it's you don't really know it's there. And again, it's important. That's sort of the standard of care to identify where you are in that spectrum of sleep apnea. I sort of dovetail, and I'm coupled with Brian's thoughts. If you have some of these conditions, and And some of these indicators, such as falling asleep or you're tired midday, or if you have dark circles under your eyes, or if you don't remember the last time you dreamed, see a doctor, get help. There's a Vivos doctor in almost every major city right now in the United States. There's 140,000 dentists. Right now, there's under 1,000 dentists that are Vivos practitioners, and it's growing every day. And seek one out. It'll change your life. But at the very least, get help.
I couldn't agree more. Get help.
Yeah. Again, I'm nodding my head because I'm thinking my husband, myself, and my daughter very intimately, specifically. We all of us have those issues that you're describing. So, and we've taken it very lightly. And I've known that sleep apnea can cause death. And yet we joke about it and we just put it off. Why? It doesn't make sense when there is something that's right there able to help us.
Well, great. Karen, I'll say one other thing. And this is just my own personal experience, but we in this country, we have a problem with over-prescribing medications for conditions that at the end of the day, we're just treating the symptoms. And this is a non-pharmaceutical approach. This is get away from the drugs. And honestly, the night that my wife died, it was ruled that she died from an opioid-induced coma. And she went into an opioid-induced coma, and when she had a sleep apnea event, she stopped breathing, and her brain wasn't active enough to start breathing again. And so I don't like to make it a horrifying thing, because it could just be that your life will be better, you'll have more energy, you'll be happier. But at the end of the day, this is something to not take lightly.
Again, thank you guys all for being here. I'm blown away. I'm looking forward to being an advocate for the work that you're doing. I already have some ideas running through my mind about how to get you in front of the people that we know. Sandy, one more time with the information for Vivos Therapeutics, and we'll wrap up the show.
VivosLife.com, ssmith@vivoslife.com, 480-529-4361.
Great. One more opportunity for anybody to say anything else, or have we covered it?
Get checked. Yeah. That's all I can tell. Absolutely. It's really simple, and it will absolutely change your life.
You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, broadcasting live from within the Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism Arizona studio. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Awicki. Thanks for listening.